The NHL trade deadline has come and gone, and now it's time to look back and see who might have won, who might have lost, both players and teams. And we're even going to take a stare into our crystal hockey pucks and maybe make a bold prediction or two along the way. Stay tuned. The Talking Puck Podcast starts right now. Hello, everyone, and welcome in to the Talking Puck Podcast, post-NHL Trade Deadline Edition. Tom Callahan, Mike Haynes here with you as we are going to go back. We're going to give you our winners and losers from an incredibly busy NHL Trade Deadline. The push is on now, Mike, to the playoffs here, and there's no other way to define this trade deadline except to say, wow, tons of trades, lots of movement. Two very defined classes of buyers and sellers, and we had a lot to keep an eye on.
Yes, and what we saw and discussed previously was what's happened in the National Hockey League has been the trend of getting the big, big deals done before trade deadline day. And I think the biggest trades, obviously, did that, did happen that way. But certainly, it is amazing, just when you think, well, who's really available? What? All of a sudden, they just keep coming in. And there's another one, and there's another one, and it's another one. It's just such a fun day. As I said, it should be a Canadian holiday and should be a complete day off for the NHL. But if whatever team that you root for, boy, you just sit and you just go, all right, look, and you know, you think, all right, our team needs this. We got to get this. This is going to help us. And it depends too on what you're dealing with as a team. Are you right on the brink of really challenging for the Stanley Cup? Are you trying just to get into the playoffs? Or on the flip side of it is, do you know you're out of it and you're trying to unload contracts? I mean, because somewhat we talk when we say somebody's a winner, it's not only a team that picks up that guy that could get him the Stanley Cup. A winner, Tom, I think, can also be a team that's got an albatross around their neck of a contract, and they unload it and get rid of it and get themselves set for next year. That in a way, can be a winner, too. So we can discuss those. But I think primarily it's about what teams did the most in order to be able to win the Stanley Cup. Ultimately, that's what you're trying to do.
And it's interesting, Mike, as you're talking about this, it is about making your team better and not making it worse. Is the other side of that coin, right? So one of the teams that I've heard kicked around, and maybe this will kind of lead us into winners, but this is a neutral for me, but people are really labeling the Carolina Hurricanes as a loser because they really didn't do much. They didn't make really any noise, and people saying they failed to upgrade. Boston got better. Toronto got better. And by got better, what people are saying is they made moves. So Boston, you know, made trades. Toronto went crazy. The Rangers got Patrick Kane, you know. And looking through the standings, everybody tried to do something, I think, if they had a little bit of a shot here. But Carolina, why are we saying Carolina is a loser when they are the second best team in their conference? They are clearly leading the Metropolitan Division. I know New Jersey is getting close as the Devils are heating up, but I mean, let's be real. Carolina didn't really need to do anything. And Mike, this, to your point you just made a minute ago, to me, it's about not making your team worse and looking down the road, making sure Carolina didn't feel the need to have to disrupt the chemistry they have or really upset the apple cart. They like what they have and they're a winning hockey team. To me, that's in its own form winning the trade deadline by not making some panic moves.
Fans want to see action. They want to see things happen. Fans look and they think they see what weaknesses their team has, and they want that solved in order to see a Stanley Cup. And when things don't happen or there aren't any trades, yeah, that's the reaction of the fan. Because it's such a, there is such frenzy to it. My rival just picked up this player, or the team were battling for a position, they just picked up this player. We've done nothing. So I think some of that's the fans. And I discussed this last time that we talked, that there are two ways to look at this. If you are in a position where you the top team in your conference and you think you've got what it takes to get to the Stanley Cup and you think you've got team chemistry, you don't want to upset that. On the flip side, I talked about the fact that I was with a team that, you know, was going to the Stanley Cup or at least conference finals, and they looked like on paper they had everything and they had team chemistry. And yet, Pierre Lacroix decided, I'm gonna upset that apple cart, to take your phrase, and I'm gonna trade for Ray Bourque. The next year, I'm gonna trade some key guys, chemistry wise, and I'm gonna get Rob Blake. So I'm telling you, you can't just say this is the only way to do it. I've seen it both ways. So, but for Carolina, obviously they made the decision that they've got their team chemistry, they've got their players. And they didn't want to sacrifice anything to change that. And that's, they're going for it. Well, we'll find out whether it was accurate or not, but they're going for it with what they've got.
And I don't have a problem with that at all. No. I really, again, you know, you're right. It's fan pressure and media pressure as well, although not so much in the Carolina market. But it's just funny to hear some of these even national people saying, well, what did Carolina really do? Stayed good.
Yeah, right. No, I agreed. And some of it is age for a team. It's not just as a general manager, you have to make several decisions. It's not only let's just go for it this year. You have to be realistic and say, okay, let's not sacrifice. We're a young enough team. We've got a great base. It may not happen this year for us. We're going to go for it, obviously, but we're not sacrificing. Now, that's different than, I think, like Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay's got to know that window's starting to close a little bit. I mean, you've been to the Stanley Cup Finals 3 years in a row. It's tough to continue to do that, and your players are getting older. But so they sacrificed a lot to get the guy that they wanted in order to get back to the Stanley Cup. And the Boston Bruins, I think, are a great example. They're a team that anybody with any hockey intelligence realizes that that's not a young team. That's a team that, you know, they see an opportunity this year, then you really go for it. And it's fascinating to me to watch what general managers think and what kind of strategy. And you're not thinking just necessarily this year. What's our you know, plan over the next 5 years? So for Carolina, they're good enough to be second in the conference, and they're good enough to be a Stanley Cup contender, and they feel comfortable with what they've got and comfortable with what they've got in the near future.
Speaking of another team, you mentioned Boston. Didn't make only one move, at least in the week leading up they did. They made a couple moves earlier to clear the decks to get Tyler Bertuzzi from the Wings. They pay a first and a fourth. They get their guy who does make them better. One move, really, at the end of the day, that as far as bringing someone in. So I like that. They did get a little deeper with the Craig Smith move. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to back you up and say that's one of my three winners.
Okay, all right. So we are getting into the winners here. All right, so Boston is a clear winner for you on this. So talk a little bit about your thought process.
Yeah, you want my winners? You want my teams?
You know what? I mean, we could just go through them. How about you give one, I give one, and obviously I just revealed your first one.
Yeah, well, yeah, the Bruins. The reason I think that they're a winner is, first of all, this is the biggest story in the National Hockey League this year. It is maybe the biggest surprise. What they've done. It's exciting. It's thrilling. Phenomenal hockey market. It's fun in that town to see them doing well, and there's no doubt that they're older, and all of a sudden it's like they've caught that lightning in the bottle, and then it's like this is our year. It's all coming together. Let's go for it. And they did. I admire that. They realize that they've got something special happening this season, and you might as well really roll the dice, get a key guy that can get you to the Stanley Cup. I think they made winning moves at the trade deadline. I really do.
And it didn't do a lot. You know, that's one of the things I liked about it. Now, and again, I said earlier, they sent Craig Smith packing and gave up some picks there as well to get Dmitry Orlov, Garnet Hathaway. And that's really what they did. I mean, Shane Bowers for Keith Kincaid. You know, that's there. But I agree that I think Boston did a really good job improving themselves at the deadline. I can definitely call them a winner in my book as well. Do you want to stay in the East?
Sure.
Okay.
In fact, all the teams that I have, four teams that I think are winners, and they're all in the East.
Okay. I'm going to go to Ottawa. I think the Ottawa Senators, just by getting Chychrun for the price they got Chychrun for, added an incredible piece to a really good blossoming team that now has a real chance at the playoffs because Pittsburgh is stumbling, the Islanders are stumbling, even Tampa Bay is stumbling. And Mike, to your point, you've been talking about Tampa Bay running out of gas for I don't know how long. I kind of wonder if this is it. But Ottawa, look, who's around them? Washington, Florida, Buffalo. I think Buffalo's a little ahead of schedule. Florida is, nobody knows who Florida is. Florida doesn't know who Florida is. And Washington was selling. So I think Ottawa, to me, is a clear winner because they put themselves in a position to make it this year. And if they don't, no one thought they would. And they are going to be absolute dynamite next year because their picks are starting to develop. They're turning into a really good team. They're going to get new ownership soon. Everything looking up for the Senators.
Yeah. I have not only just the teams, but then I picked some players who are winners. And one of my players who's a winner was Chychrun. That's a nice win for him, isn't it? I think
it is. And Mike, isn't it funny? Two, three years ago, no one wanted to go to Ottawa. Now, are they turning into a destination?
It's shocking. I didn't think that. First of all, it's an expensive place to live. The team had just been treading water, not doing well. There was no pizzazz to it. There's no, you know, it just wasn't anything to that team for years. I mean, you have to go back to when they went to the Stanley Cup.
06-07.
You have to go back to those guys where there was a little bit of excitement. Since then, it's been a no name, just bottom of the barrel for the most part, type of team. And so it's fun. And what can be, the building's in a horrible place, but it can be a great hockey market if you put together a fun, exciting team. And for Chychrun as an individual, that's a win for him to go there.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's going to be tremendous for the player, for the franchise. Things look really good for them. Mike, this is going to tickle you. I think the New York Rangers are winners, even though going to take them a little while to really get everything worked in. And so this is interesting because we're seeing already the trade deadline acquisitions and people, and Chychrun's a great example, comes in, scores a goal right away. Like a bunch of guys jumping in, Timo Meier jumps in, helps out. But it's going to take Kane a minute because when you have a player with that kind of skill, I think he has to find his new normal with the guys around him, and it takes a little bit of time to develop that. So let's not panic. Everybody, it's been a couple of games. Why isn't Kane? Relax. The Rangers got the most offensively talented player available. They're better.
Yeah, that he was the number one get, and they got him. It's sort of like, I don't know where the Rangers find the money. I don't get it. I just don't get it. I mean, in the old days before 05, before they had the salary cap, I mean, they just open up the pocketbook and just, what does it cost? We'll bring in every star that possibly wants to play here. We'll pay them whatever they want. But they're still doing that sort of thing, aren't they? They're still bringing in these big salaried guys. But I absolutely, Bruins, Rangers, two of the four team winners that I've got. Kane's the best player that was available and taken, I think. And it's not just, not that you struggle at all to sell tickets for the Rangers, but there is, you have a very hardcore following of the Rangers. They're going to sell out every single game. But when a team in New York wins, and especially when they win with a star, it is unlike any other city in North America. And Patrick Kane is that star. I've said it many times. He's one of top 10 guys that I would pay money in order to watch play hockey. And he is going to be loved, I think, in New York. And I just predict within 3 years, the Rangers are going to win the Stanley Cup. And, I mean, Kane, not only I'm also, and I've preached this before, Tom, I am not only just a believer in bringing in talent. Patrick Kane has won 3 Stanley Cups. He knows how to win. And when you have a younger Rangers team that is trying to figure out how to get over that hump, here comes a guy that has won. You've also got that in Tarasenko. He's won a Stanley Cup. So I love the acquisition, not just from talent, Tom. I think almost as important is here are two guys that have won Stanley Cups and can show guys how to win. I think that's huge.
And Tarasenko might have been the best pure goal scorer available.
Phenomenal goal scorer. Now, is he a 40 goal scorer now? Maybe not, but in the playoffs, it is so hard to score. Every goal can be big. And if you've got a guy who was just, as you said, a pure goal scorer, that is huge. I don't know. I think the Rangers hit a grand slam for the playoffs. I like what they did. I really do.
Yeah, it took a lot. And I think that so those are teams that did pretty well. Mike, who else do you have in your winners column?
I have, I just want to say for players, I did have on my list here, I have Tarasenko and Kane, of course,
okay,
my player winners. But I also have the Leafs and the Devils.
Okay, so I was going to go to New Jersey in a minute here, and so but let's go to the Leafs, because I'm going to battle you on the Leafs.
Okay.
So give me your reasons. What do you got for Toronto? What do you like?
I think they had to do something. Now that is, I talked about how there's nothing like a team that's going well and a star player in New York, but there is no more pressure on a team, I think, at the trading deadline to get something done, and it's more scrutinized, more analyzed than the Toronto Maple Leafs. And I thought they did very well. They had let's look back at the last 3 years in the playoffs for the Maple Leafs. They had to do some things to get past. They had to do something, Tom. And to their credit, they didn't stand pat. Whether it work or not, I'm giving them the win, a winner, because they did something. That's not a team that can just go, okay, well, you know what? Let's throw away the last 3 years. We've got it together now. They had to do something under a microscope and under pressure. That's why I like them. Why don't you? Why are they not in your winner column?
I think so. They're a neutral for me. I don't think they lost. But what I don't like, and the reason I don't want to call them winners, is because I think they did too much. I think, and to my point about Carolina stayed good. Now Toronto feels the pressure of they're going to face Tampa Bay again, and what are we going to do? And look, this is March. Tampa Bay is having a moment, and so you can read this moment any way you want. You know, top line benched in the third period, loss against Buffalo. What's going on? Will Tampa Bay be able to right the ship? But here's what the Leafs did, and just to really quickly recap just the big names. O'Reilly, Achari, McCabe, Gustafson coming in as well, Luke Shen. And there were some other moves in there as well, Lafferty came in that McCabe deal. But I'm looking at this, and they sent out a good young D, Rasmus Sandin. That's a lot of change. this late in the season. And what I don't like about it, Mike, is I don't know that you can get all of those fresh new parts to coalesce that fast. You essentially have 6 weeks to figure it out.
Yeah, I think hockey is different than it used to be. I think guys are so much more used to moving, joining teams. I think they adapt. They know each other from off season workouts and playing other teams and growing up. I think it's easier. I mean, now you're under the microscope. They're in Toronto. You know, any little mistake you make, that's front page. I get that, that pressure. But, Tom, they weren't going any – they look what a disaster it's been the last 3 years with this, big star lineup, especially the forwards. And you had to do something. I think you had to make some big changes and send a message that we're doing something to try to get past the beginning of the playoffs. I don't know. I think it's good. But that's
here's how high Toronto's bar is, Mike. If Toronto's even going to make the final, they likely have to beat Tampa, mm-hmm. Boston, and then one of Carolina, New Jersey, or the Rangers.
Right, which is exactly my point. They could not stand pat with what they had. They couldn't get past them before with what they were doing. They had to make a big change. They didn't get Gibson in goal, which they you and not. I recommended.
They did not.
So when it doesn't work out, you and I can come back on the air and go, it would have been fine if they'd gotten Gibson.
If they'd have just gotten John Gibson out of Anaheim. That's right.
That's what they were missing. Anyway, I liked the fact that they shook it up. I think they had to.
Okay, and then the Devils, I think by getting Timo Meier.
Big, and I gave him that's a win as a player, too.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean, getting out of San Jose at this point, that is a franchise. Why have the Sharks, for so long, just denied the fact that they weren't good enough?
I find this so, I'm so glad you brought this up. I just know for years and years and years of going into that building, there is a level of arrogance that they don't deserve to feel. I don't. They've been that way forever. I got into the NHL in 1995, and they had a level of arrogance then, and it continued over the next 20-some-odd years in good and bad seasons. From not just the players, the front office, the administration, everybody, there's a level of arrogance there. Did you ever feel that when you went there?
Yes, absolutely. And I
went there a lot. I went there, yes, not only a lot during the, but I saw them numerous times in the playoffs, both winning and losing. But there was among everybody that I dealt with there. From the guy cleaning the press box to the GM, were arrogant. It was very bizarre to me in that building.
It is kind of strange. It's this weird little world of denial that the Sharks lived in for so long, hanging on and hanging on to. Nope, we're really really good. No, you're mm-hmm. mid-pack or worse.
Yeah. No, they thought that they wrote the book on public relations in hockey and how to do it. It was really odd to me when going in there. Very strange.
Yeah. So I mean, yeah. And their fans, the fans that they have are hardcore, and I give them credit.
Oh.
They sell the building out.
And it's a great. I love the building because of its design, and it gets noisy, and then there's controversy over whether or not they pump in the noise. I don't know. But the way it's designed, it's not huge in terms of like different levels of suites. You know what I mean? The fans seem more on top of you there, and it seems louder and more intimate, and they're into it for sure. They're great fans. But they've never won a Stanley Cup, yet they prance around. No, but you would think if you talk to people in the organization that they had a dynasty at some point, like the Islanders or the Edmonton Oilers.
Yeah,
I don't know why I'm going off on the shorts. I don't know why, but you started it, Tom.
I did start it. That's my fault. But so anyway, it was a win for Timo Meier to not be with the Sharks anymore. Is where that all came from. No, I'd agree with that for sure. But the Devils, who have been really, really good this year, they seem to have. Here's what I like about the Devils. And Meier right now is the big sexy name, but even like if you go to most fans of an Eastern Conference NHL team, I don't think they can give you five Devils.
No. And it's been like that for how long?
Right.
It is a franchise that plays in the single worst city in the National Hockey League. It is a building that is just dead. It's a bunch of no names that have played on that team for a long time. They don't have a real identity, but there seems to be something happening now. It seems like there's some changes going on, and good. I'm glad. And the fans that are there are really good hockey fans, but they have not been treated to great hockey lately. And it seems like I give them a win. I think they're turning that franchise around, which is a good thing.
Anybody left on your winners list that we didn't get to?
In terms of teams? Let's see, where's my list of players? I said, grab it here. I've got Kane, Meyer, Chychrun, Tarasenko, Domi, and Klingberg.
Okay, we haven't talked about Domi or Klingberg.
What do you think?
I think Klingberg getting out of Anaheim. Anaheim is a team that knows it's trying to turn things around and has been struggling for the last little bit. And, you know, that one was kind of a last-minute deal that just kind of – really, that was the only thing that happened. I think the only major trade of the Friday deadline was Klingberg to the Wild. Other than that, I mean – there was just not a whole heck of a lot going on that day. So he was, and his even posted late. It looked like he wasn't even going anywhere. It looked like Anaheim failed to move him, much the way Philadelphia failed to move JVR, which we'll get to, trust me.
That's one of my losers, yep.
Yep. I like that. I mean, Minnesota, how weird of a spot is Minnesota in? They're still buying at this point, and next year they are just going to get slapped so hard with those cap recapture penalties.
Yeah, I thought Bill Guerin would do different. He's in a tough spot. He really is. But the problem is, I think in the West, there's an opening there. If you could have put together some things to make a run out of the West, the West is still very small in terms of the list of teams that can really come out of there and go to the Stanley Cup, as opposed to the East, which I still think is a better conference right now.
Well, I don't think it's the list as small of teams that can come out. We know who our eight are, right? Nashville sold, they're out. Calgary stinks, they're out. But you know your top eight. Winnipeg and Edmonton are the wild cards right now. That might shuffle a little bit, but it's Dallas, Minnesota, Colorado, Vegas, LA, Seattle. I think Seattle is about as good as gold getting into the playoffs right now. In the West, I was really.
Making it to the final. I mean, getting through it.
Right.
Yeah. That's it. I mean, there's going to be some teams that get in, but I think there's fewer teams that have a chance to win the Western Conference than there are in the East.
Yeah.
If you know what I'm saying.
It's just weird. It really is a weird setup, and I think the West, by and large, if I'm going to pick a winning and a losing conference, I think the West lost. Mm-hmm. Big time.
Big agreed. Time. All four of the teams I say are winners are from the East.
Yeah, and you have one more player on your win list.
Domi. That's what I said.
Domi. Yes. Yeah. So, What do you like? I mean, it's hard not to like when you go into a situation where you could potentially win a Stanley Cup. I suppose
that's to me as a player that's what makes you a winner. I mean, for the team. you're trying to pick up your to be a winning team at the trade deadline. You've made yourself better and either a chance to win the Stanley Cup, or as I said earlier, you could be a bad hockey team and you've gotten rid of some horrendous contracts that are going to make you better. I think that's still you're still a winner, so to speak. But for players, it's going from a situation in which you're just riding it out to I might get to see some playoff games here, maybe even a few rounds. So that to me makes a winner for a player who wants to do that, guys. And I think Domi is a competitor, and I think he's a guy that wants to be in a winning situation.
One guy I'm going to add to the player list of winners I thought was Curtis Lazar. Getting out of Vancouver, you hear a lot of good things about Lazar going to New Jersey. And again, I mean, the Devils quietly made themselves even more. To me, the Devils are one of the, like, if they were a human being, they would just be a rectangle-shaped human being who's stout, like wide shoulders, wide hips, very solid built all the way through. You know, top to bottom, there is no unbalanced part of New Jersey. And I think Curtis Lazar fits that perfectly. So yeah. I think him coming out, and anybody, let's face it, escaping Vancouver at this point, they did you a favor.
Yeah, no, you're thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. So that'll actually lead us into the, I think, the losers of the deadline.
Did I miss it? Do you have anybody from the West?
You and I overlapped quite a bit. As far as the West, I don't think anybody did enough in the West for me to classify them as a winner. Quite frankly, Minnesota did a little. Dallas getting Domi is good for them, but here's the question. And they got Evgeny Dodonov. I like Dodonov. I liked him when he was with Vegas. I think he can be an impact guy if he has a spark, and I think getting traded is a spark. But am I overwhelmed with Dallas? Do I think Dallas did one of the best jobs in the West? Yes. Mm-hmm. Am I ready to crown them like a major winner in the way of a Boston or New Jersey or the Rangers? No. But Dallas, well, you know what? Okay, I'll change my mind, Mike. Dallas. I'm going to say Dallas just because as I look at the other teams in the West, Dallas did what it needed to do to stay head and shoulders above everybody else. Like Colorado... What did you do? You needed to get better than Dallas. What did you do? Lars Eller? Jack Johnson?
No. That's not gonna do it.
So, yeah, no, okay. You know what? I'm putting Dallas in the win column. There you go. Nice job, Stars.
All right. There you go.
So, yeah. All right. I convinced myself looking at everything here. Like, you know what? Yeah, all right. Good on you. Good on you, Dallas Stars. You did just enough. Time for a quick break, then back with more of the Talking Puck Podcast in just a moment. You know, here at Talking Puck, we generate a lot of media on different platforms. Open Media's 4K download suite makes my life a lot easier, and it can help you too. Whether you need to download audio clips, convert streams to audio, which we do a lot of here, creating slideshows, or even need help with your social media accounts like Instagram and TikTok, there's something for everyone, from casual user to pro. Use our special link, bit.ly/4kpuck. That's bit.ly/4kpuck to receive a special discount of 25% off your purchase. That's bit.ly/4kpuck. Talking Puck is now on Signal to Noise Radio every Monday night at 7 p.m. Eastern. Signal to Noise is one of the fastest growing internet radio stations, and now they have merch. Help spread the word about Signal to Noise Radio with t-shirts, stickers, keychains, and more. Shipping is direct and free. $25 gets you a t-shirt, while keychains and swag packs start at just $7. Order today at stnradio.com/merch. And thanks for your support. Now back to the show. All right, let's talk about. So let's get to losers then, and you go ahead and lead us off. We'll try to do teams, but I know we always leak into players because they kind of go hand in hand. So, who tops your list?
Florida. I last year was so much fun to watch that team. I just couldn't get enough of watching the Panthers. They played hockey like I like to watch hockey. Fast, scoring, exciting. They also went for it on the trade deadline, too. They got their man, at the trade deadline as well. I thought, wow. And for a franchise, I mean, you can go back to 96 when they got to the Stanley Cup. But since then, they've just done nothing right. I mean, moved to a bad location, don't hold on to good players, and it's just been a revolving door with coaches and GMs and owners. It has not been a great franchise, unfortunately, which is a shame. But last year, Tom, that was so fun, and you're going, this is great. We've already seen, because of Tampa Bay, Florida can support hockey. And I thought, man, Florida is going to just turn it on. It's going to be so much fun. And, oh, boy. And they, I don't know. That's a whole show, I think. What happened to the Panthers? And so last year they had a big splash near the trading deadline. And this year, boy, I don't know. That's a big topic to me, and disappointment, because I love the way they played last year, and it's so disappointing this season.
I find it interesting that that Calgary and Florida exchanged such big name talent, and nothing against Matthew Tkachuk, who, by the way, is having a career year. He's got 81 points right now, and that's 26 clear of Carter Verhaeghe in second. But those two teams make a trade, and they both get measurably worse. And who knows, let's just scrub that trade, leave the players where they are, and just assume they signed extensions or whatever. Would those two teams be better or not? And it's very hard to say, but I can tell you that they both got worse. Even though Tkachuk's having a dynamite season. So I'm super disappointed in Florida. I think they're a loser, but they don't top my list.
Okay.
The state of Pennsylvania tops my list.
Yeah.
The Penguins and the Flyers.
I had the Flyers on my list.
Giant disappointments. I think the Penguins looked, I kind of hate to say it, but Ron Hextall looks desperate. And like he's just, throwing stuff at the wall to see what sticks. Granlund is a put-you-over-the-top guy. Now, if Granlund goes to a team like a Tampa or a New Jersey, I get that move. I don't understand it for Pittsburgh. But Nino, that's a retread. That makes no sense. I thought he's been washed up for a couple of years now. But at Kulikov, another guy you bring back, none of these guys are young. None of them have long-term upside. Their games are in decline. I don't know what they do for you. I just don't think Pittsburgh did anything to improve. And Philadelphia completely failed on all fronts to do anything impactful.
Yep. I have Florida, Calgary, and Philadelphia. It's my three losers.
And I don't think Calgary, I know I just sat there and blasted Calgary, but man, I just don't think that Calgary could do anything to make itself better to make the playoffs. Even though they're not mm-hmm. that far out, they could have applied some pressure for a wild card if they put it together, but I just don't see it.
No. They're disappointed. Calgary and Florida, two teams that were really fun to watch last year. And I thought the Flyers they made some changes off season, a change of the coach. They, did some other things. You think, okay, they can start to get going. And they didn't charge their phone, and so it wasn't working on trade deadline day. I don't know what bizarre. And those are fans that they'll, that's an angry group. You have Carolina fans who go, oh, well, we're disappointed. Philadelphia fans, they want to throw snowballs at Santa Claus. So they're really mad.
Yeah. There. And a couple teams I'm going to call out for doing nothing when I thought they should have done at least a little something, or at least something more than they did. Colorado is not the best team in the West, so that's disappointing. I'm not saying they lost because they are more injured than bad, but I just don't know that even if they get, if they got 100% healthy in time, that's a team that goes two rounds deep. But I don't know that they come out of the West anymore. Seattle did absolutely nothing. Now, knowing what we've seen from Seattle, that is not a surprise. That doesn't mean I like it. And then I honestly liked, and so this is a player, oh, I forgot, a player win that I totally forgot. Matias Ekholm going to Edmonton.
Oh, yeah, I know. That's right. We talked about that. You like
I like that move for him. I think Edmonton needs defense. They still need defense. They might need goaltending if Jack Campbell doesn't figure it out. But
we've heard this story before.
It's the same old song and dance. I think Arizona's a loser for me. I think they waited too late. The price dropped on Chychrun. Completely underwhelming. And Arizona, of course, doesn't. I don't want to say they don't care, but they don't care. You know, it doesn't matter to them. They're trying to save money and hang on to see if they get an arena. I think that's another loser for me. And honestly, Mike, as I leave the trade deadline, I'm actually surprised about how many teams that just made me shrug my shoulders going, all right, I guess. You know, it's a long list for me. You know, Vegas, Los Angeles. I'm kind of glad Buffalo didn't do anything. So, they did a little bit, but not much, nothing to stir the pot. And that's fine because I think they're a year off. Nashville, I think, did a nice job, as I've said before, clearing the Dexter Berry trots. But, you know, Vancouver is just, it's such a mess there right now. Anaheim didn't do anything, but you know what I mean? It's just, I felt a lot of teams probably had a nice chance to do something to really improve themselves, and they just did nothing.
Yeah. You know, it's not in today's day and age in the salary cap. It's not as easy as it used to be to unload guys.
Sure.
You've got to get a dancing partner. So it's tougher. And you know, there's some caution there, but boy, if you're there, there's some teams that didn't do anything. But as far as players, I thought, and we already mentioned it, Van Riemsdyk. That's a poor guy. So Hayes probably was another guy. And I don't know. What do you think about Jonathan Quick? Is he a winner, loser? Nothing. Does he matter? Because I'm trying to think of, you know, you and I always love to talk about goaltenders, and you don't normally see a big name goaltender moved at the trade deadline. But is that a win, loss, or nothing for him?
It's funny because that's one of the, I was looking at Jonathan Quick and trying to decide which column to put him in. Did he win or did he lose? And I think that's why he ended up in my middle meh, whatever column, because he went to a team in Vegas that needs him for now, will not need him in the future. I don't know how long he's planning on playing. Logan Thompson healthy is Vegas's clear path forward. Now, don't forget, Vegas still has a Robin Leonard contract. Just because we haven't seen Panda this year doesn't mean he disappeared. He has, I want to say, two or three more years after this year at $5 million. So I don't think Quick got into a better situation, but I also think the writing was on the wall for Quick because Portillo came in from the Sabres. That is now the Kings goaltender of the future. They're going to lean on Cal Peterson for now. And Peter said, it's funny, he's another guy who told the Sabres no. But he's not. Basically, they're going to wait for Portillo if he stays there. But the Kings may have hung themselves out to dry at Portillo test free agency this summer. They may be kind of host. Vegas is lousy now with goaltending. And Quick, I know there's tons of Jonathan Quick fans out there, and I was one of them, but those cups, Mike, are 10 years ago.
Yeah, I know.
And time takes its toll on the body, and Quick is a no exception. He has had some big-time problems. Maybe this is just where he's going to end it up with a year or two with Vegas and kind of fade into the obscurity of being that veteran backup guy who's won a couple of cups if he wants to hang on a few years behind some young stud somewhere. I think that's where he's at now in his career.
Yeah,
this is his last chance to carry a team.
Yeah,
I don't have him in the winner category for sure, but I was just wondering because you don't see he's not the goalie obviously that he was, but he is a big name, and sure. You just don't see big name goalies get moved that often at the trade deadline, you know. And so I was trying to figure out what to do with him, and I just kind of slid him a little bit to the loser category. And it's sad because I loved his style. He was fun to watch, and it's always sad to see. He's coming to the end, and it's a little sad for me because I, you know, give him a lot of credit. He won the cups, was fun to watch, but this might be it. But I can't hard to believe that all of a sudden he catches fire, right? And Vegas makes a long run. That's a stretch, don't you think?
I do. And by the way, Mike, really, really quietly, a guy that we sung the praises of back in the bubble, Anton Khudobin, was the other part of that Max Domi trade, along with a second rounder that went to the Blackhawks. And this is probably the North American swan song for Khudobin.
Well, what a year he had with Dallas. So what a run. Yeah. What a run.
Yeah.
What a great run he had. That was awesome.
Yeah, it really was. It was so much fun to watch, and you never knew it was going to happen that year, and it was a blast. I kind of like it for this year though, because now, and it's weird because I'm so used to watching the West, and for years I felt like the West was better, more entertaining, even a little more run and gun. Now the East is where my eyes are going to be for the first time in a while, I dare say. I really have not been this excited about the East in a while.
I don't know. I felt that way last year. I thought when we talked late playoffs last year, I said I'll watch if whatever's going on in the East versus some games to watch in the West. I'm watching Eastern Conference. I still feel that way. I like it because there's more questions of who could possibly come out of there. I mean, there's great stories. I mean, the Boston story is phenomenal. Can Carolina get it going? Does Tampa Bay have one more gasp at it? I don't know. I just think it's fun. Maybe, you know, if Toronto could win a couple series, oh my goodness, it'd be great. It'd be so fun. So I don't know. I think there's great storylines in the East, and so I'm really gonna be watching that. And I think. And we said the same sort of thing last year. These Eastern Conference teams are really forced to go for it on trade deadline just because of the competition in the conference.
Right.
I mean, last year, I mean, everybody knew who was coming out of the West. That was going to happen last year. And you almost got a sense that other teams went, well, we're not sacrificing the future. We're not going to win the West. It's done. It's a done deal. It's already been decided who's coming out. But in the East, you got to go for it, you know, because I think everybody thinks they've got a chance.
I think you're right. I think you're right. And boy, you can't count Tampa Bay out, even though they're going through, like I say, they're going through their hiccups right now. But the line is clearly Boston.
It's going to take
an incredible effort to beat them, but someone could do it.
Yeah, it's always, and you know what? It's the Khudobins. You don't know who this year's Khudobin could be. And we'll say one more time for Tampa Bay, Vasilevsky, I still think he's got some left. And he's the guy that could, you know, he can, we saw him last year in a couple of game sevens. He can win you those. So I wouldn't count Tampa Bay out yet as long as Vasilevsky's playing well. But it's still wide open. I'm going to be very interested in watching the Rangers. I really will. I think I think if it's not this year, it's the next couple of years, I think they're going to win something.
All right, Mike, just to close things out here, give me a prediction. If you want to make it a bold prediction, one for the East, one for the West.
In terms of what?
Anything. Coming. Like teams, players, anything you think that's you're going out on a limb, but you feel good about.
And I know something's going to go, well, you're not really going on a limb here, but I think I really, really believe eventually that Patrick Kane trade is going to be a home run. to use a baseball term in hockey. I think Patrick Kane is going to be electric in that building. I think it's going to be igniting that team. When he starts doing his stuff, I think Patrick Kane's going to be great. You know what? Now you got me thinking about that Ekberg trade, and I wondered: do they have enough defense? Can Campbell do something that McDavid and company? I don't know. We're always waiting every year for Edmonton, right? Maybe this is it. Maybe that little deal maybe propels Edmonton. How about that for a couple of things?
It's pretty good. Pretty good.
How about you? Let's hear your side.
Okay, so my bold prediction in the East, Ottawa makes the playoffs.
Okay.
I think Ottawa's putting it together. I think they're getting hot at the right time. People keep trying to throw math at me on this one, but here, I'll throw math back. I think the Penguins and the Islanders are both capable of being in and capable of being out. I think one, if not both of them, could fall out, but here's the thing. The Senators have played 62 games as of our taping this and 68 points. Islanders at 65 have 72 points. Ottawa could cover that. And 71 points are the Penguins. And the Penguins do not have it together. So I think Ottawa makes the playoffs this year. And that's going to be a lot of fun to watch. And if they do, automatically, I'm rooting for Ottawa. Number two, in the West, Seattle wins a playoff series.
Who do you think their first round opponent's going to be then?
The way it looks right now, they could. So if they hang on, I really do think Vegas is going to win the division. I think they're just good enough. It's going to be an LA Seattle. But if they fall to the wild card, it could be Vegas. It could be Dallas. But I think they're going to win a playoff series. They're going to surprise some people because they're kind of that scrappy little grindy team. Again, we talk about a team that doesn't really have, you know, giant superstars. And I mean, now the Devils, you know, they do have stars in the Devils, don't get me wrong. But I mean, Seattle is that generic team wearing the black and yellow jerseys that just say hockey on them. You know, they're the generic hockey team, but again, they've turned out to be a pretty solid team. Do I think they're going to go take off on a run? No. But I think they're good enough to win a round. I'm going to go ahead and say that Seattle wins a playoff round.
Well, especially if they're in a 2-3 situation in the first round, right?
Yes. And there's nothing to say. Mike, they're 4 points out of the Pacific Division lead.
Right. But I think if they finish second, third, I could see them winning that first round.
And I think
might be a little reignite
Seattle's fan base.
Oh yeah. No, and they need that. But I think they might have a tougher time if they fall into the wild card. That would be tough. But I think finishing in the, you know, top three in the division, they've got a shot.
You want to talk about a ratings nightmare, Seattle at Dallas?
Oh boy. Oh boy. Or I'm trying to think in the East if Jersey played Carolina.
Yeah, that'd be
I don't think they'd be thrilled about it. I don't think the NHL would be thrilled about that one.
No, but you know, no matter what happens, Buffalo's going to watch all of it.
Yeah, they'll be the number
Buffalo
one
and Detroit. Those two fan bases always watch the playoffs.
They do. They're great fans.
So, well, I'll tell you what. I think unless you wanted to toss something else out there, roll a grenade in the room, I think that's a good place to end this one because that's
perfect. Yep.
So much happened. It is kind of hard to put our arms around it. And as you mentioned, the fun part is you never know what the real surprise is going to be yet. Could be anything.
Who's our who to open this year for sure.
That'll be a lot of fun to keep an eye on. I like it. But yeah, as we wrap up the NHL trade deadline, we appreciate everybody listening in as always. And Mike and I are back doing the podcast here because, well, we like to talk.
That's right. That's really what a bottom what the bottom line is, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is.
We like to hear ourselves talk.
It's fun. It's fun. We love doing it, and we're so glad for the support that we get from folks who do listen, and we appreciate you being here. So, all right, Mike. Well, now we're on the stretch run, so you and I will get to throw darts at people from afar, and we'll continue to stay right.
Right. And I can't wait to get those emails from those fans in San Jose.
Yes. Oh, I'm sure they're going to hunt you down. It's a good thing you don't check your Twitter ever. So, all right. Well, that's going to do it for this episode of Talking Puck. Thanks for joining us, everybody. And you can subscribe anywhere you get your podcast. The Talking Puck podcast is widely available. iHeart, Apple, Google, whole lot more. Stitcher. You can find us all over the place. So thanks for being here. We appreciate it. And we will talk to you next time.